United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace, through music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S. From Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, Recognize Your Own God Nature, given on June 2, 1998 in Irvine, California, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Enlightenment is in us already. The kingdom of God is in us. The kingdom of God is at hand. At hand means we could always get it. It's not far. Only if we know how. The master of old have passed away, but their teaching, their lineage of enlightenment has always, somewhere, somehow, somewhat survived. It's not necessary survived in Jerusalem. It's not necessary survived in Bodh Gaya in India. It goes deep into the ground like the river. It goes all over. It branches out. It's hidden away somewhere and then it springs up somewhere else. Surprised. So we have to find where that river has sprung up right now and get the source of the water of life. And lucky for those who know where the river has emerged after being hidden under the ground or running through different corners of the planet. The river or the source of water come from the mountain. Sometimes they don't just suddenly disappear. You just run deep into the earth somewhere and then immerse somewhere else. Similar with the teaching of the master of the old time. It doesn't disappear. Whenever we are ready, we will find that river again. Some friend of us, some acquaintance, sometimes by very funny change, very strange coincidence, we will find that river of the teaching again. Sometimes it could be very easy in the supermarket. Sometimes it was difficult. We have to go to the Himalaya. Sometimes we just encountered in the library or in a candy shop. Who knows? The way of working of God is very, very mysterious, but it's always for our benefit. It's not necessary that all of us have to go to the Himalaya or somewhere very, very far away to find enlightenment. God's arranged differently for each one of us, according to our desire, according to our sincerity, according to the destiny of us that is written in the book of the universe, that we might meet the chance for enlightenment here, or we may meet a chance of enlightenment somewhere else. As our brother has mentioned, I'm also lucky to have encountered the newly sprung up river, and I have also drunk the water of life, and which it tastes good. I know it tastes good because I have tasted it. So I come back and tell you. And I can also show you where to get the water and taste it for yourself. It just happened that I found it first before you. It could have been you that sit here and tell me. Yes? But as God willed it, oh, he picked up a small woman, easy to transport. Because small thing, you know, go a long way. That's what, yeah, very easy for me to sneak everywhere, find the river for you. So do not ask why me. I also don't know. Just somebody has to discover something, somehow, somewhere, sometimes. Yeah? It is not necessary that everybody discover one thing at the same time. Like Einstein, yeah, he has his theory, and he's the one and only. Or Newton, for example. Yeah, one person enough. And then he can share his knowledge with the whole world, and the whole world will be benefit. So it's not necessary that we have two Einstein or two Newton. And maybe too much if we have two suns, too hot. California is too hot in summer. Suppose if we have two suns, maybe too superfluous, overflowing. So one sun also enough. So, well, here I am. I came from far away. Bring you this news. And if you like to accept, if you like to find out about it, we are very willing to share it with you. No cost, no charge, no string attached. No before, after, between. And that's what it is, simple. I have a feeling that you all understand, that you all know, because you are God. I'm sitting here looking at the gods. And that's why I feel so happy. I don't need to speak. But in case you have any question, I may have the chance to elaborate more for the sake of everyone else. So feel welcome to ask. Or maybe share with me your knowledge also is fine.
To get it started, I do have already one question. And it's an honor to have an enlightened master that we can ask questions to and get real answers. She is somebody that knows the truth, and I, a graduate of UC Irvine, am very honored to have such an enlightened master on our public campus. The first question, Master, could you please explain the origins of the Kuan Yin method of meditation and how to practice it?
Yes. As I have mentioned earlier, it comes from God. It comes from time immemorial, since the creation began. Since we began to play the drama of life, God has granted us this way to go back to Him. And that's where it begins. And as to how to practice, I'll explain to you, if you're interested, in greater detail later on, if you stay behind. Yes, because it needs to be explained more in detail, so you will not confuse at home if I'm gone away. You have to know it one time and forever. Then you never forget again. You can do it all yourself at home, whether the teacher dead, alive, there or here, or never see again. So you have to learn carefully. It don't take long. Maybe a couple of hours to explain everything. But that's for life, see? So here, we do not have so much time. I just briefly tell you that the Kuan Yin method is not a method, really. It is the inherent power. That is the power of God, to prove that we are God, because we have that God power. So at the time of initiation, the master just help you to remember it. And remember you will. And immediately, and then you will feel it. Ah! You feel the power. Sometimes it shakes you. But then later on, you calm down because you know you are God. In the beginning, it might be exciting, but later on, it's okay. So what? Everybody's God. No big deal.
Mm. Why is it necessary to erase past karma?
It's not necessary if we want to continue living in here, but if we want to go back to where we belong, then we have to pay all the debt, either by suffering or by enlightening medicine. Once we are enlightened, the past karma is erased, but the present karma continues. The future karma non-existence. And that's how we can be free to go back to the kingdom of God. Because what keeps us here is the storage of past karmas. What does it mean by karma? It's a Sanskrit term for cause and effect. What we call, as you sow, so shall you reap in the Bible. We have been sowing a lot of bad and good deeds since thousands of millenniums. Since the time begin. And that's how we continue to exist here, because we keep paying and borrowing and paying, repaying, you know, that's all the time. And come back and back, you know, to repay the past debt. So in order to be clear of this and to be free of bondage, we have to erase the past karma. And the only thing we can do to erase the past bad karma once and for all is enlightenment. Once we are enlightened, the past gone. Just like you switch on the light, doesn't matter how many thousand years of darkness have resided in this room, one instant is gone. There's no other way we can erase the past bad karma, because too much, it's too much. That's why enlightenment very necessary.
Okay. Dear Master, I love you very much. I would like to ask you about animal research. What do you think about it? Do you think animal research is unethical?
She means for medical experiment? Try it on animal first, right? Or to research, like to know what the species and then try to help them? Medical purpose or cosmetic, right? Well, what do you want me to say? You want me to offend the whole medical system? Some say it's necessary to have done research on animal in order to help mankind. Well, if the intention is pure, we have no right to judge anyone. But from the animal standpoint, it is a very, very unkind thing, uncompassionate thing to do. I wish we don't have to do that. I wish we all get enlightenment and cure ourselves inside out. Thank you.
Okay. Do I have a soul? If not, how is reincarnation possible?
Well, the Bible says you have a soul, so you must have one. Reincarnation is not the soul who reincarnate, actually. The soul live forever. Don't die, don't live, don't reincarnate. It is the experience of life. It's the integrating process between the physical and the spiritual. When we are trying to experiment in the so-called life here, that attached to the knowledge of our existence, that things reincarnate. And if we do not detach ourselves from this kind of experiment, then we call ourselves, we reincarnate. Actually, we don't reincarnate. We don't die ever. We are just sick, we're just diseased with these incidents, with these disasters that happen to be attached to us. And if we don't cut ourselves asunder from that, then of course we're forever connected with that. And the cause and effect keep changing, keep moving, keep adding, keep diminishing, and that's how we say we reincarnate. If we are not enlightened enough, that's it.
Master, when one wants to express in the work situation but finds that opportunities get oppressed, what should be the attitude at work? And what should one do? Is ambition in workplace wrong? I would appreciate your shedding the light on this matter.
Now we go back to real life. Working. Ambition at work is not wrong. Ambition is a must at work. Otherwise, how you work, how you progress, how you please your boss and yourself, how you make profit for your company. That's a duty. It's a duty to be ambitious. But to be ambitious doesn't mean we have to step on other people's head to go forward. And that's what it is. Ambitious and viciousness, jealousy, it's different. Yeah, we can be ambitious, we can improve ourselves all the time without having to suppress other people. If we do feel oppressed by some degree, then we have to find out what the reason the other person oppresses us, whether we are not competent enough or whether it's a personality problem. Or it is the other person who is too envious of us. If we can, then talk to that person. If we know we are in the right and that person on the wrong, then talk to that person. If he or she become better, forgive her or him. If she doesn't become better, forgive them anyhow. Continue with your work. We can't avoid conflict in this life. And that's the fact. Even within a personal relationship, sometimes husband and wife also envy each other if one is too successful. That's the problem with the human brain. It's not with the soul, though. Not with the enlightened people. No.
Thank you. Why does one need to meditate 2.5 hours each day?
Just like you have to eat now and again. Yeah, there's a portion. There's a, more or less a portion of food you eat every day to sustain your body. So there's a portion of spiritual nourishment that you should take every day in order to become strong again in God, in God-like quality. Okay? You don't have to, but this is a prescribed, doctor is prescribed fixed amount. Yeah, it's more or less, it's not so strict. Yeah. Besides, we can meditate in sleep as well. We can meditate on the bus, can meditate on the airplane, meditate in the toilet, excuse me. Yes, yes, we'll do so, we'll do so. Well, we can do many jobs at the same time. There's always time to meditate. Yes. Cut down some of the, you know, unfavorite TV program. Read only essential things in the newspaper. Talk less on the telephone. Then you have a lot of time. Yes. Stay in bed a little bit less, you know. Sometimes we don't sleep. We stay in bed late in the morning. Just turn around. Yeah. So that's the time we can meditate. Yeah, very wonderfully. Instead of turn and toss and turn, you know, you just meditate, concentrate. That's it. Very simple. Instead of thinking all kind of nonsensical things, you just concentrate. That's where your meditation is. You don't have to sit down cross-legged like the Buddha. You just lay there and concentrate. And I show you how to utilize your unproductive time, or, you know, some other time that you scatter your mind all over and you don't do anything. Those times we can gather together and remember God. Very easy.
Do you believe there will be world peace one day?
Do you? Maybe in the years 3000s. No. There won't be world peace at all, ever. Because otherwise it won't be called the world again, it's called heaven.
Dear Master, thank you for being here. Where does intuition come from? How do we know which decision to make? Sometimes I get so confused. I have two options, and sometimes it's so hard to decide because each choice comprises and makes up my life, and I don't really know which one I should do. I want to get to the place that I know exactly which decision I should take.
Oh, well, that takes some time. Yes. That's why we must be enlightened. That's why we have to get back the power of wisdom that we have forgotten. We let too many mundane troubles cloud our vision. That's why we are indecisive. We cannot make decision because we do not know. We're not clear. That's why we have to be clear. The 2.5 hours that we reserved every day is to clear our mind, to get back to the origin, to the God-like, and then we will know what to do better. It will be clear. It will be very clear. Meanwhile, if you don't meditate that much, if you don't want to meditate, and if you have intuition, that is God. That is the remnant of whatever left over of so-called God-like wisdom. It's sometimes clouded by worldly worries and survival effort. But then sometimes it's clear, and that's what we call intuition. Okay, meanwhile, if you're not so clear, then just have to take risk. You have to feel which one is more appropriate to you, how much percentage of that decision or that decision. Which one is more percentage? Which one you feel more appropriate? Then just do it. You have to risk. There's no one else to tell us what to do. Pray to God and just pick one. Yes? Or else you make like 2 pieces of paper. Yeah? Like one left, one right, and then pick one. Well, either way, it's all risky. That's why you have to get your own wisdom. Your own master power.
Dear Master, if I sincerely pray to you, Will I be liberated eternally?
I think so, but only one person. Whereas if you get enlightenment yourself, you can take other people with you too. Like one person enlightened, many generations of your relatives and friends, even your dogs and cats, will be liberated too. Whereas if you pray to, even if a God person, you get your own one ticket. If you're really sincere, and you don't even know if you're sincere or not. Sometimes hard to tell.
Does hell exist as the Bible says?
What do you think? Does it exist? Look at our world and you know the answer. There's no need to look elsewhere.
Master, why did we fall? Why couldn't we have remained pure consciousness for those who may have never wanted to be incarnated in the first place? Today I understand karma, but karma, these debts and credits, were part of the Creator's plan. Why did He desire our suffering karma so much?
He doesn't. We do. As a part of the deal, so that we learn to know the difference between God and un-God, so we can recognize the light when we come back to the light again. Go into the darkness purposely, deliberately, so that we might know the light as its full splendor and full meaning. For those who do not want ever to leave heaven, they did not come here. There are some who never left heaven, that's for sure. Some master never left heaven. Some left heaven to come here to teach us. Some also reincarnated many times and became a master. Some never left the Father's house. We had our choice. We did want it to. There are many answers to this. Well, but summarily, there are two main purposes that we have karma. See, number one, because we want to know God. We came here purposely just to know God. Sometimes we live in heaven, all full of light. Everybody is saint, everybody is God. So we say, God, what is God? So God say to you, you are God. God is you. God's that. He say, well, I don't know what is God. What is God? He say, you are like this, it's God. But the soul does not fully understand. So the soul asks God, how can I know God? How can I know myself as God? And God tell him, then you have to become different from God, from yourself first. And then you look back, you know. That's why we came here. That's why the purpose of us to come here is that to know ourselves better. Yeah? And the other one is, since the creation has not begun, nothing appear in this world or any other world. And then God made a plan. He wants a creation to spring forth, to come into being. So He made a plan. And we join. We're happy to play every part of the grand design, just for fun, just to make life more colorful. So some knowingly play their part, okay? All on the purpose, also that one day they become God again, they know God again. In order to know God, they have to play many different roles, and one role related to another, just like in the movies. You have main character and you have other supporting actress and all that. Otherwise it doesn't work. Yeah? So the bad karma for us right now, it feels very heavy and very unreasonable. But at that time, for us, it's no big deal, because we are God. We don't see suffering. We don't know problem. We don't look at obstruction as anything undesirable. For us, everything is just a play, until we really play. Then we feel suffering. But that's a part of the game, part of the universe power. If we don't play our role, we don't exist, nothing here. I don't sit here, you don't sit there, you're not blonde, I'm not black. What is then? Everything is all just plain. So it's okay. That's why all the perfect master, they say everything is perfect under the sun. And Jesus say, you're all the children of God. Because they realize there's nothing to do. Everyone is perfect. But we do not realize it yet, so we suffer. So we have to realize the same as they do, and then we know. We know why. And then we look at suffering as not suffering. It's still suffering. It's still hurt when somebody pinch you. But you understand, it's just for something. You don't suffer. You don't sink into the suffering. Just float on top of it. Yes.
Dear Master, my wife is here today for initiation. She has been vegetarian for a long time. I tried but could not. Please tell me why and how to.
Oh, maybe your wife should go and learn vegetarian cooking more. The poor husband cannot just eat when it's not tasty. Well, enlightenment begins here too, not just here. When I first met my ex-husband, I was a vegetarian, he was not. And he was a doctor. And he's very, very practical, very down to earth. He's a Taurus kind. And he belonged to the bow in the zodiac of the Orient, so he's a double bow. So he don't believe any nonsensical things. But because I cook very nicely, while he eat every day with me. And he has nothing against vegetarian at all. And after I have left him for, you know, to save the world kind of idea, you know that. He gathered all my recipes and cooked for his friends and all that. And he always advertised, oh, my wife used to cook this, my wife used to do that. All the vegetable, very rich in vitamins. He cooked exactly like the recipe I left behind. And so even a Westerner, a German, and a scientific-minded doctor like that could be a vegetarian. You could be too, if all the wives cook very tasty meal. You don't miss anything. For example, you eat a bowl of soup, you know, like Chinese soup, huh? You have noodle and some piece of meat on it. And instead of those meat, you can have like gluten meat, yeah, or tofu meat. Oh, now, and ham, meat, everything, all kind of, even fish and everything they can make exactly like the non-vegetarian. So it's a matter of skill. The way to enlightenment goes through the stomach, I believe. So you wives, please take care of your crafty finger. Huh? Make it nice, tasty, and then your husband can be able to eat with you. Women are easier, truly. Once you believe something, you just eat anything. But men, they are more scientific. They're more practical. Yeah, not too sentimental like women. The woman can live by sentiment, affection, emotion. So she eats, and then she believes, and then she don't care how it tastes. But men, they are more critical. So please their taste first, and then enlightenment come.
Some of the benefits of a vegetarian diet: lowers blood pressure, lowers cholesterol levels, reduces type 2 diabetes, prevents stroke conditions, reverses atherosclerosis, reduces heart disease risk 50%, reduces heart surgery risk 80%, prevents many forms of cancer, stronger immune system, increases life expectancy up to 15 years, higher IQ, saves 70% of a total cost of $40 trillion for reducing global warming, uses 4.5 times less land to grow food, conserves up to 70% clean water, saves 80% of the cleared Amazonian rainforest from animal grazing. A solution for world hunger. Free up 3.4 billion hectares of land. Free up 760 million tons of grain every year, or half the world's grain supply. Consumes one-third fossil fuels of those used for meat production. Reduces pollution from untreated animal waste. Maintains cleaner air. saves 4.5 tons of emissions per U.S. household per year. Stop 80% of global warming. Plus more. Save your life. Be veg. Go green.
Maestra Chinhai, someone who must be bilingual, please explain our relationship spiritually to you after you die and one has been initiated. Is our fight back home still guaranteed by your soul spirit?
Guarantee. As has been said earlier, we are not the body, we are the spirit. So this body go or come, it's no difference, no distance between us. And I have told you already, at the time of initiation, you've been explained so that you can use it for life. There's nothing can come in between anymore, unless you don't want it and you leave it. But the seat is still there for next life.
Master, five of my children are already initiated into the Kuan Yin method, but I am quite old. Is enlightenment for everyone? What requirements are needed, or is sincerity the sole criteria?
And sincerity, yes. Sincerity is enough. But sometimes when people are too old, you know, like past a certain age, and sometimes the physical body and the memories is not so sharp anymore, then we might tell them, come back again, next time, next life. Yes. Or just practice like convenient method, also can help her or him. No need full initiation, but that's guarantee only for one person. And initiation guarantee for many generations, that's the difference. And you can, by initiation and practice yourself, you can also become enlightened master and can help many, many souls too.
Master, why does Christianity as a whole tend not to believe in reincarnation? Does the Bible talk about reincarnation?
It does, but it's been censored. Besides, when somebody asked Jesus whether he was Elias, whether he was so-and-so, the past master before him, that means whether he is the reincarnation of those past master, he kept quiet. So that was the part of the Bible that people forgot to censor. Suppose if reincarnation is not existing, for such understanding, then Jesus would say, no, there is no such thing as, you know, a master come back. I am me alone one time, never again, never before, never after. He kept quiet. And in those times, quiet means okay, means agreement, means acceptance. Otherwise Jesus would have explained, right? Not to mislead his disciple. He kept quiet.
Dear Master, explain that if one person gets initiated, five of their generations will be saved. How about living family members who eat meat and drink alcohol? Will they also be saved?
They will also be saved. Sadly, but fortunately. That is, if they deliberately do not want liberation, then the Master will not force upon them. Of course, each one is God, you must remember. Each one of us is God. No one can tell God what to do, even another God. How bad he is, how good he is, that's his own decision, his own path in life to choose. He chose to play this role. He's okay, even if he's bad. That's why the Bible says to us, judge not.
Before we become a Buddha, we vow to do this and do that for human beings, and we vow to serve them. But say, after we've become a Buddha, we change our mind for some reason because now we have a different outlook. Question, are we free not to fulfill our vow, or must we fulfill our vows due to the law of karma?
We're free. We're free to do what we want.
Greetings, Suma Chinhai. Please give your view of Earth as a great sentient being whose love assists us in our ascension.
What for should I give my view on that? Huh? Everything is made from God, as the Bible says so. Everything springs from the Word, meaning the vibration of the universe. And that vibration is God, and that's the Kuan Yin method. That's what we teach you to tune into the vibration of the universe, of the source of all creation. Okay, so even if we are human, are from God, then also great Earth or everything in the universe, it also has God-like quality, but in probably different form and more different density. All right. So in that case, the Earth is also a being, a great being, as you have mentioned. And we live in here. We live from the Earth. So of course, we have to respect that. Respect this great mother.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
We thank you for your compassionate presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Part 3 of Recognize Your Own God Nature will continue tomorrow. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Golden Age Technology coming up next, right after Noteworthy News. Farewell and God bless.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.